This is study number three on Ellen White and the progression of light that the Lord gave her in regards to the deity. In the first two studies, we just a quick review here. We discussed in the first study how Ellen was used in the gift of the spirit of prophecy, how she grew in herself, and how the Lord advanced her in her understanding. And then we went through several statements there about how she would dare not give her opinion. She only spoke those things that God gave her to speak, bless her heart. And so this was a tremendous gift to us, and we ought to use it. And so in the second study, we looked at actually what she wrote in regards to the deity, specifically the Father and the Son, where she said in 1858, 1870, and even in 1890, the Father and the Son in the councils of heaven, the Father and the Son in the councils of heaven, the Father and the Son in the councils of heaven. No mention of the Holy Spirit being part of that council. Doesn't mean he wasn't. Doesn't mean he was, but there's a reason that he wasn't, even up to 1895. But what happened? In 1896, we saw that Ellen White, from 1896 to 1898, in that time frame, she mentions four different times that the Holy Spirit is a person. So, how could you say in 1858, that the Holy Spirit was there in the councils of the plan of salvation and creation and all of those things? How could the Holy Spirit be there when there's no light at that moment on the Holy Spirit being a person? So first, he had to be established as a person before he could be included as part of the Godhead, as part of those councils. And then we actually read the actual statement in 1899. This is how light progresses. We saw that in Proverbs chapter 4. That the path of the just shines what? Brighter and brighter until when? The perfect day. And that perfect day is when Jesus comes. And so more light came. See? The Holy Spirit was there all along. Isn't that beautiful? Now, I want to read a statement that shores this up. This is in regards to our 1888 history. Let me read this to you. This is a statement that was Ellen White had wrote about. It's found in Selected Messages, Book 3, page 174. And it's at the actual 1888 conference in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And it was during this discussion over the law in Galatians and so on. Jones and Wagner were there, and Ellen White, and then those that didn't agree and so on. And it's a very interesting, phenomenal part of our history. But here I want to share this thought with you. She says, questions were asked at that time. Sister White, do you think that the Lord has any new and increased light for us as a people? Now she answers that question. Pay close attention to how she answers the question. Here's what she says. I answered, most assuredly. Did you catch that? Isn't that pretty clear? The question, let me repeat it again. Sister White, do you think the Lord has any new and increased light for us as a people? The answer is most assuredly. Their increased light came from the time of William Miller and the passing of time with Higher Medicine and Joseph Bates and the Bible conferences in 1848. That they had, the Sabbath conferences, and through the 1850s, 1860s, 1870s, light has always been increasing. and it was increasing in 1888. She says, most assuredly. What does the word assuredly mean? Assurance. You can be assured about that. Not only assuredly, but most assuredly. Do you think the light got brighter from 1888 to 1899? Most assuredly. The key for us, the question for us, the challenge for us, is to keep track of this light, to keep focused, to see where the light began. It started in Daniel 8:14. Remember the 2300 days? And William Miller shows up and the time of the end. That's a whole other study. And then there's the Millerite movement and so on and all of that. First, second angel's message, midnight cry. Then the passing of time, the third angel's message. And then the Laodicean message. And then the loud cry. This is advanced, increased light. She says, most assuredly. Then she goes on to say, I do not only think so. Now she's clarifying. I do not only think so, but can speak understandingly. What does that mean? She can speak from her own personal experience. See? We all should be able to. That's why it's so important for us to study our history, because there we'll see what the light was and how that light progressed. Now, some Adventists only want to say the path of this, you know, this light. Say it started over here at mile marker 1, and it ends at mile marker number 10, or at least up to the time in which we are, where we're at. So mile marker 1 to mile marker 10. Some people only want to stop at mile marker 2 or 3. And they won't go to mile marker 4 or 5. Some people go up to mile marker 7. God wants us to look at all the light when it first started and as it advanced. See? Light, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. So what is light really? It's Jesus. It says in John 1 that he was the light of the life of men. He was the light of life. So Jesus is the light. So light is all about Jesus. Jesus is in all of this. See, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. And so that light increases. She says, I know. And so so what God wants us to do is review that light. I didn't finish my point here. All the way up to where we are right now. And guess what? Then mile marker 11 and 12 and 22. And then there's just eternity that stretches out before us. See, God's forever advancing. And God intends to have us advance with it. And all that means in advancing, in many cases, it's new light, but actually it's old light that's more clearer and more details and more beautiful. See, we have a lot of tweaking ourselves to do as this light continues. Originally, when the brethren started keeping the Sabbath, they did it from 6 o'clock Friday night till 6 o'clock on Saturday night, right? But then the tweak came. It's from sundown to sundown. So likewise, that's how this works. Now, watch what she says. I know that there is precious truth to be unfolded to us if we are the people that are to stand in the day of God's preparation. See, this isn't just light to tickle our fancies or to amuse us or to entertain us in any way. This precious holy light is to prepare us as a people to stand in God's preparation. Preparation for what? For the latter rain. Preparation for the time of trouble, preparation for translation, preparation for living forever. See? That's what this is. That's what this means. Now, that's just a statement from Ellen White in the 1880 era, and let's look now at the progression of the counsels of heaven that was given during the time of Jesus and the Father, and now the Lord has added the Holy Spirit into that counsel. So we see in this trajectory, this tracking of truth, that in Signs of the Times, on April 2nd, 1895, she says, Christ was the embodiment of truth and holiness. He, it was who had stood in the counsels of God and dwelt in the innermost sanctuary of the eternal. See? And so, when Jesus was here on the earth, he came to impart the knowledge of the Father and himself to the people, but they failed to grasp with their human understanding that which had been from everlasting and was known to the Father and to the Son. Okay, so that's 1895. Okay, so here she's still only saying the Father and the Son. So we saw 1858, 1870, 1890, 1895. But something changes. Light now advances. Okay. However, in 1899, the Holy Spirit is included. We mentioned that in our last study, even though the statement is brief. By 1899, Ellen White had at least on four separate occasions, beginning in 1896, stated that the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. And we just discussed that. He had to be identified as a person before he could be included as a member of the Godhead. Makes sense? Makes sense to me. Okay? Now here's what she says. We read this in our last study, but we'll do it again. It is the glory of the gospel, this is the 1899 statement, that is founded upon the principle of restoring in the fallen race the divine image by a constant manifestation of benevolence. This work began in the heavenly courts. There God decided in the heavenly courts. Now I'm adding the word, I'm repeating myself here, but I'm reading the statement from Ellen White, to give human beings an unmistakable evidence of the love with which he had regarded them. He so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now here it is. The Godhead was stirred with pity for the race. And the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit gave themselves, plural, three persons, gave themselves when? In the councils of the heavenly courts. They all three gave themselves to the working out of the plan of redemption. In order to fully carry out this plan, it was decided amongst all three. Okay, I'm adding the word amongst all three. It was decided that Christ should give himself an offering for sin. What line can measure the depth of this love? Now, this is letter 12, January 21st, 1901, but it was originally written in 1899. And it was found in a, it's on Counsels in Health, page 221. And there you'll see the indication of it being 1899. It was also republished again in 1901. Okay. So, let's look at the sequence of events now, as we've been doing. The sequence of events described here in human terms for our understanding is laid out as follows. Number one, in this statement, the Godhead is stirred with pity. Number two, the heavenly three devote themselves to devising or working out the plan of redemption. Number three, in the process of working out this plan, it was decided that Christ would give himself an offering for sin. Okay. That's what we just read in that statement. All three participated. Now, one may well ask why the Holy Spirit was not mentioned in earlier statements about the heavenly councils. Well, there could be two reasons. First, the time had not yet come. Ellen White, again, as we mentioned in our first study, was not giving her own ideas. She wasn't just speculating and adding her opinions. Now, we established that in our first study, okay? But she was dependent, Ellen White was dependent on what was revealed to her. So in 1858, in 1870, 1890, even 1895, she wasn't going to say the third person of the Godhead was a part of the councils because it wasn't revealed to her just yet. It wasn't until she began to see and was shown that the Holy Spirit is a person. This is our history, folks. This is advancing light. To the question that was asked of her in 1888, does God have much more, has he got more life for us as a people? She says, most assuredly. And she says she knows because herself experiencing it. Well, that was 1888. Now we're in 1899. And she's basking in the most assuredly more advancing light. We ought to be as well, don't you think? So that's one reason. She was not given light yet until 1896. And then by 1899, she was able to say the Holy Spirit was part of that council. Secondly, there's another reason. The Holy Spirit, we are told, does not speak of himself. That means that the Holy Spirit will not speak on his own authority. It can also mean that he will not speak about himself. Ellen White quotes this statement, taking the latter meaning in the following quotes. And even Jesus said that. Well, we're gonna quote Ellen White. See, the Holy Spirit, they're all God, they're all divine, they're all self-existent. See, they're all all these different attributes of God, and yet there's distinctions between them as well. There's personalities. They're in harmony, but when we start to get to know them, we see distinctions, and it's wonderful. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, what's the distinction about the Holy Spirit? Here's what Ellen White says. It's not essential for us. This is in Acts of the Apostles, pages 51 and 52. It is not essential for us to be able to define just what the Holy Spirit is. Christ tells us that the Spirit is the Comforter, the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father. It is plainly declared regarding the Holy Spirit that in his work of guiding men into all truth, he shall not speak of himself. Now I'm going to comment. Remember what Paul said? How's the Bible written? By the inspiration of the Spirit of God. Who inspired? Peter said, holy men of old spake as they were what? Moved by who? By the Holy Ghost. See, the Holy Spirit doesn't glorify himself, but he's the one that inspires people to write about the things of God. Likewise with Ellen White. See, the Holy Spirit is humble. He will not glorify himself. So he doesn't bring himself into the picture until way into 1898, 1899, 1896. He's inspiring Ellen White and giving her views with all the members of the deity in harmony with this. And now we're bringing the Holy Spirit out as a person. He will not glorify himself. She goes on to say, the nature of the Holy Spirit is a mystery. Men cannot explain it because the Lord has not revealed it to them. Men having fanciful views may bring together passages of Scripture and put a human construction on them, but the acceptance of these views will not strengthen the church. Regarding such mysteries, which are too deep for human understanding, silence is golden. Now, she wrote in 1890... about the Holy Spirit. not calling him a person, but this was 1890, Review and Herald, December 23rd. She says, Christ says, speaking of the Comforter, he shall not speak of himself. He will testify of me. He shall glorify me. And then in 1891, she wrote in the Review and Herald, January 27th, Christ declared that the Holy Spirit should not speak of himself, but that he shall testify of me. The Holy Spirit was to glorify the Redeemer. The Holy Spirit glorifies Christ. Okay, those are the quotes. Now, the point is, since the Holy Spirit does not speak much about himself, it should not be too surprising to find that he has at times made no mention of his presence in the heavenly councils. So how then can we understand the original passage that we started with in Patriarchs and Prophets, where it says, the sovereign of the universe was not alone in his work of beneficence. He had an associate, a co-worker who could appreciate his purposes and could share his joy in giving happiness to created beings. In the beginning, Ellen White says, this is page 34, Patriarchs and Prophets, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, John 1, verses 1 and 2. Then she goes on to say, Christ the Word, the only begotten of God, was one with the eternal Father, one in nature, one in character, and one in purpose. The only being that could enter into all the counsels and purposes of God. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9, verse 6. That's Patriarchs and Prophets, page 34. Now, the intent of Ellen White's statement here can be seen as we read a little further. That's page 37 in Patriarchs and Prophets. Let's read a little further where she says, he, she's talking about Lucifer, was beloved and reverenced by the heavenly host. Angels delighted to execute his commands, and he was clothed with wisdom and glory above them all. Yet the Son of God was exalted above him, as one in power and authority with the Father. He shared the Father's counsels, while Lucifer did not thus enter into the purposes of God. Page 37. Now just follow this train of thought. Only 1 year earlier, Ellen White had written of this same matter. This is in Testimonies, Volume 5, 1889, page 702. Now, here's another quote from Ellen White. Satan fell because of his ambition to be equal with God. Okay? He desired to enter into the divine counsels and purposes from which he was excluded by his own inability as a created being to comprehend the wisdom of the Infinite One. It was this ambitious pride that led to his rebellion, and by the same means he seeks to cause the ruin of man. Close quote. So the context of these statements in Patriarchs and Prophets and in Testimonies is about Lucifer coveting something that did not belong to him. Now let's follow this through. It has already been noted that Ellen White does not always use the word only in the absolute sense. It can be seen that Ellen White's purpose in stating that Jesus was the only being that could enter into all counsels and purposes of God was to show that Satan was excluded. That's the point of Ellen White saying that. This wasn't about the Holy Spirit. It was about Satan trying to elbow, now I'm talking here, Satan was trying to elbow his way into a meeting that he was not invited to. That's why he was told at the door, you cannot come in. The only being in the universe that can come into this meeting is Michael, Jesus. That was the context of the statement. It had nothing to do with whether the Holy Spirit was involved in this council or not. It had to do with Satan being blocked at the door of not being able to come in. Only Jesus could go in. See, that's the purpose. There was no overt intention to exclude the Holy Spirit. See. So it is evident that Ellen White included the Holy Spirit in the heavenly councils in the statement that she made in 1899, and she repeated that statement in a letter that she wrote, letter 12, January 21st, 1901. Okay, and then she wrote again in 1911. Again, she wrote in the Great Controversy 1911 edition. She wrote that love for God was supreme. Christ, the Word, the only begotten Son of God, was one with the Eternal Father, one in nature and character and purpose, the only being in all the universe that could enter into all the counsels and purposes of God. And she says that again in 1911. She could have hardly have intended 10 years later, from 1901, to exclude the Holy Spirit in the Great Controversy Statement of 1911. She did not intend to exclude the Holy Spirit in 1911. She could have hardly intended to do so when she used virtually identical words in 1890 in Patriarchs and Prophets and even in earlier statements. So there you have it. See, the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit was involved in the councils of heaven. Ellen White, when she makes those statements in 1890, in 1858, 1870, 1895, and even 1911, intended to exclude the Holy Spirit, but rather it was to show that Satan was excluded, not the Holy Spirit. Satan was excluded from entering into the councils because this was way over his head and actually was about him as well because he was the author of rebellion. But the deity had put this plan together, and they counseled together, and they pledged themselves because the rebellion was now upon them. Satan had rebelled. The human race was already in ruins. And now the deity had to act on the plan that they already had made. So you can see, this is good news. And this is a blessing. There is so much more to study in all of these topics. And we will, as time goes by. May God be glorified. May your hearts be cheered and inspired as we continue to follow the Lamb wherever he goes, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.